Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
We're going to find all these pockets of people who love these movies, like Mordecai or, you know, or, you know.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Barrett Scher from Music Video Sins.
Hello!
And and Jonathan Watkins, who is a member of all of the things that we do.
Yeah.
Beep, beep.
Beep, beep, Richie. We are going to be doing a mini-pod.
Mini-pod!
Of It Chapter 2 on this one. Sequel to It. Came out a couple years ago.
Beloved.
Is it beloved, though? Or did reviews get to this because it made 90 million? It made 30 million less on its opening weekend.
I don't know how surprising that is. They weren't, I mean, from what I read, they weren't tracking much more than that. So,
but okay, it doesn't matter what they were tracking. Yeah. What matters is how much business they lost from the first movie to this one.
Yeah.
So, you normally a movie like this that is beloved would do more on its opening weekend and then have a harder decline as it gets to the end of its run. This one has a great opening. 91 million is nothing to sneeze at. But somewhere along the way they've lost some people.
They have. The first one is certainly beloved. By me at least, and I think in general people see that as not only a really good horror movie, but also a nice coming of age tale, really well acted, really well shot, really well done. And so there was good anticipation for this. But when we were doing our fall preview, all of us had like a little bit of like, hey, maybe it's not going to be anywhere near that in terms of the movie that we get. And I think that's exactly what happened. Now, it may have obviously translated at least a little bit to the box office.
Yeah. I think part of it, too, is you have to see the first one to really understand what's going on here at all. So, I mean, that's going to detract some people when they hear that. I think also the runtime.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I know Endgame, people were saying, but you say runtime, but Endgame was on a lot more screens. You know, there were entire theaters that were just showing Endgame. Now, from what I understand, it was the most screens for an R-rated opening or a horror movie. It was one of the two.
Had 4,500 screens.
Yeah, so it was a lot of screens.
Yeah.
But I just think the runtime, so less show times, and people being a little scared of it just because they hadn't seen the first one.
It was 30 minutes more than that first one. First one was already testing your limits of length for a horror movie. This one is almost, this is an epic.
And this is an adaptation of a 1,000-page novel. So, I mean, it's like I'm not really going to hold that against it. However, how you use those 2 hours and 49 minutes is arguable.
Pretty sure after watching this, they could have cut 30 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well,
or done 30 minutes differently.
Right, either or. I mean, we'll get into the nitty-gritty and stuff like that, but it's almost like, you know, we watched the miniseries fairly recently, and that to me felt rushed, especially on the back end. And then this one, I was like, well, they've definitely taken care of that problem. They've got all the time in the world to play with. But the beginning of this movie, is so rushed when it comes, mm-hmm. particularly when it comes to the backstories of the main fucking characters that we've been wanting to see what's going on with them for the last 27 years. It's like they each get one scene before they're back to Derry. And yes, it could be both 30 minutes shorter and then have that more fleshed out and less of that middle part that just drags like a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our friend Patrick, he actually DM'd me on Twitter for Modern Horrors. He DM'd me on Twitter and was like, even though that was really long, didn't that feel rushed to you? And I hadn't really thought about it. And I was like, yeah, I think you're right. That did feel kind of rushed. Like, like you didn't even get to see, like, in the miniseries, you get to see, like, them all get their phone calls.
Yes.
And, like, so...
And a little bit of backstory on Bev and a little bit of backstory on Bill and stuff like that. Yeah.
And in this one, you just kind of have to assume, like, you know, Eddie got a, or whoever, I can't remember who they left out, but you just have to assume certain people got phone calls.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I felt like I saw every phone call.
Well, a couple of them, I think they just didn't actually show the call. Like, I think Ben said, I've got to take this. And then he just says hello and then it goes away.
Yeah. It's, that scene in particular made me laugh out loud because every time Mike calls them, he goes, whoever he's talking to, it's Mike. And they're like, Mike who? And they're like, and he has to always go, it's Mike this. And you're like, damn, okay. So then the second time it happens, you're like, okay, he should probably go through his whole name. He's like, Bill, it's Mike.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Mike who?
You would say something like, hey, I don't know if you're going to remember me, but when we were, you know, we knew each other as kids. My name's Mike. Is it Hanlon? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike Hanlon. I mean, that's what a normal person would make a phone
call.
But
it was about the fifth or sixth call. He was still doing that. It's Mike.
The Ben scene got me on many levels. That scene was funny. It was also funny because they purposely showed a guy in the conference room that you would assume was him.
Oh, yeah, because
he was a little bigger.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And then he's, of course, like, because, you know, we were talking about this, Barrett guested on Behind the Scenes this week, so you'll... I don't know if this will come out before or what, but we were talking about how the It miniseries, it's like, you know, architects are fucking rock stars, you know, mm-hmm. and you kind of got that same thing here where he's like in his own house and he's on a big screen.
Yeah,
he's like, let me tell you why you're fucking wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I gotta take this call. Yeah, he has to drink my scotch.
Yeah, he's basically Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I want you to hit him really fucking hard. But yeah, that scene was just funny to me. I started laughing after a while because every time he called, it's Mike. Mike who? I guess we'll get more into spoilers because the spoilers are where I want to get into why I didn't like this movie very much. But I will say as an overview, this is the Bill Hader show.
It really is.
This is Bill Hader's movie.
Which is crazy. You think about this cast, you know. Bill Skarsgård really embodied this character and became, you know, the face of the movie, certainly, in the first one. You got Jessica Chastain, James McAvoy. Isaiah Mustafa, I don't think, has done a whole lot of stuff.
No, his name is familiar to me, and I clicked on him, and I'm like, I don't know if I've seen him anywhere else.
There's
a couple of things that I know I've seen him in, because he's in the movie I've seen, but I don't know, I don't remember the character.
Yeah, but Bill Hader really does take over this in a dramatic way, in a funny way. Like, all the good parts that you remember from this movie have to do with him. Mm-hmm. 90% of them, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
The only thing I want to say about Hader, and Aaron made this comment on BTS, so I'll give Aaron Dicer the credit for this, but I think he said something along the lines of, at times, though, it felt like it was the tallest guy in a short person's class. Like, he did a good job. Like, don't get me wrong. Everybody in this movie can act. We didn't even mention, was it Ben, what's his name? Ransone.
James Ransone.
James Ransone, who played Eddie. He did a really good job. Hader's good. I have no problem with that. But I just, it's one of those weird performances. And I compared it to Eddie Murphy in Tower Heist.
Oh, okay.
Well, and not that it's necessarily on the same level, but when Tower Heist came out, everybody was like, God, that movie's shit.
Mm-hmm.
But man, Eddie Murphy. He's back.
Yeah.
And then you watch the movie and you're like, yeah, I mean, he's Eddie Murphy. Like, he's good. And that's kind of how I felt here. I mean, there's just nothing on the page.
Mm-hmm.
He does the best he can with a very poorly written character, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean he's bad.
Well, yeah, there
and,
are
and worse semantics.
There are moments in there where he's being funny, and I'm like, whoa, where's the? He's trying to be funny.
Yeah,
and it's like
yeah.
from the script, you're like,
yeah.
Ugh.
And there's times where he's doing Bill Hader, and you can tell he's doing Bill Hader.
You can tell because he gets into those like mannerisms, and it feels very, it feels like he ad-libbed them.
Mm-hmm.
So and you wonder if those were in the script when you hear that sort of those Bill Hader inflections.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be more for spoilers, but there was one aspect of his character they changed for the movie that I was digging. But it was kind of it just ended up being like this offhanded comment almost, and then they didn't really do anything with it after that.
Mm-hmm.
He's good. I mean, I don't that seems silly to even comment on that, but I feel like it's getting a little overhyped just because of the movie maybe not living up to people's expectations.
Mm. The other thing that I found myself liking, because it wasn't scary, I about a third of the way through,
no.
I realized that this movie's not. Maybe it's trying to still be scary, but like it's hitting the same beats over and over again, and it's doing the same thing just with different visuals. So I stopped like expecting it to be scary. The first one's scary.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started paying attention to the effects, those are really good effects. They're cartoonish at times. They're silly at times, but I think it's possible that that's what they were going, and that's what I was expecting at a certain point throughout the rest of the movie.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people complaining about the CGI. I will say I thought the couple of, I don't know if you want to call them chomping scenes, the couple of death scenes, I guess, that were the blood, it does look a little silly. But I also think in the context of what he's doing, like killing children, I think that was the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm okay with that. And I do agree, like, and the makeup work in this movie is amazing. I mean, you know, Pennywise Skarsgård is it Skarsgård or Sarsgaard?
Skarsgård.
He's still good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I just don't think the character of Pennywise is as good. I think they turned him into Freddy Krueger. That's really my take on it.
Yeah, they did. Getting to the effects, I mean, we've talked to Aaron Sims on the podcast, and I'm pretty sure he's was part of this too. If not, then you know, sorry. But I think that obviously it's not just him; it's a whole large team of people.
Mm-hmm.
I kept getting the vibe from it, like the old Sam Raimi days from all those CGI things. And I was digging the CGI that's in this movie.
That's a good call. And there is a lot of callbacks in this. There's a scene like clearly paying homage to The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing. And that was a really cool little like creature design.
Yeah.
I guess you would say.
Yeah.
It brings more questions up about what the fuck Pennywise's powers are,
right?
But still very cool. And that was the thing, the Freddy Krueger thing, like these elaborate things where he would go like to try to like, you know, fuck with them, because he doesn't actually kill these people, he just fucks with them. They felt almost like Nightmare on Elm Street, like set pieces, like the later sequels, where they were more about like the dreams and the set pieces than they were about actually trying to make them feel organic within the story.
Yeah, you're right about the fucking with, because he kills people who don't matter all the time.
Yep.
Okay, what are your letter grades, guys?
The more I think about this movie, the more I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
We walked out of the theater. I was like, meh, all right. Really appreciated Bill Hader. Liked the effects. Liked a lot of the stuff. But yeah, it could be trimmed. So when I walked out of the theater, I probably would have given it a solid B. I think it's a C+, though.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I saw it actually same time you guys were watching it, just in a different theater, because we texted right afterwards. If we had done a podcast that night or the next morning, I might have been kind of where you are.
Mm.
The more I've had to dwell on it, the more I dislike it. And there are positives. Like I said, we talked about the effects, the set design. I mean, the money's on the screen. I also liked that, like, when there is adults, I liked how they reused a lot of sets from the original, because it almost felt like you were going back to this town with them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very effective. But there's so much of this movie that doesn't work. And I'm like, C-.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a C+. I think I've been a C+ since I came out of the theater. It hasn't grown worse in my mind or grown better. It's just that, you know, that's a C+ movie.
It is. It is interesting. Out of the three of us, I like it the least. But
yeah.
And I did like the first one, if anybody wants
to.
Yeah,
we all did.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We all did.
I loved the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
honestly,
I would agree.
I mean, the chemistry that those kids had is hard to replicate, even in something like Stranger Things. Stranger Things has them separated a lot, you mm-hmm. know, by kind of by the story yeah. nature. In It Chapter One, I'm actually going to talk about that a little bit in the Sincast. It feels like no matter, even if they're separated, they can count on the rest of them to show up and, mm-hmm. and have their back and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And Pennywise is legitimately terrifying, but also funny the way that he's probably supposed to be in that first one.
Correct.
And in this one, it felt like it was a lampoon of both the chemistry and of the clown itself, too.
This is probably going to be sacrilege to people who love the book It. And I read the book probably 30 years ago.
Mm.
That's how long ago it's been. But Stephen King sort of backed himself into a corner with this two halves type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the characters that we know and love, the kids, are not going to be there anymore. So you can get some appealing actors to play them as adults, but now you're starting over again because they're completely different people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, except maybe Richie.
Yeah, I mean, the second best character, I think, in this whole thing was Mike, because Mike seemed like he had a continued backstory. The rest of them just had this large interrupted spot. Like, Jessica Chastain is a brilliant actress, obviously. Like, if given the circumstances to which she's been exposed, not only in childhood but also in this relationship, she could have done a lot more with that, or we could have seen a lot more of it, of like overcoming the trauma or dealing with it, or, you know, how it's affected her and stuff like that. She gets very little to work with. Her best scene is that one where she goes back to her old childhood home, and it was completely spoiled in the trailer.
Yeah.
And it's a great scene, but I already knew what was going to happen.
I think in both versions of the movie, that character is an adult versus the book has gotten the most disservice. Mike, interestingly enough, I think a lot of people do. He's the least interesting character, especially in the book. I think he's probably the least interesting character in the miniseries because he just doesn't have a lot to do.
Well, he wasn't tripping balls in any of that stuff.
Yeah,
now he's tripping balls.
That's what I'm saying. They added some stuff to this movie. They were trying to give him a little more of a story, which I thought was really interesting and I thought worked. What they did with that, though, is they took away some stuff from some other characters, I think, that like Ben. I mean, I'm probably not even going to remember what Ben looked like in 3 days.
Yeah.
A Brazilian football player.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Let's get to spoilers, since we want to anyway.
No spoilers!
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
Luke's father is actually Darth Vader.
What?
She's the sister and the daughter.
No. I'm reading the books.
So yeah, I don't know where to start as far as spoilers are concerned, but that first scene, I'm going to tell you, the first scene really got me into a bad place because, yeah, okay, yeah, there's a gay couple at a carnival, and some really, really bad people see it and they're like, well, you know, we got to beat those guys up because they're gay. Okay, I get it. We're in a small town. That happens. We can't, you know, whatever. But then it's just brutal. And then the guy gets kicked off the bridge and then he's in the water. And then, oh, by the way, all you have hell to look forward to as well. And it's just comes out of nowhere because Pennywise definitely goes after kids. I believe the first movie established that he goes after kids and he goes after that people of that age can't see, can't see Pennywise. I don't even think, I mean, if he's supposed to be 17, which doesn't even seem right.
Well, he did take out one of Henry's buddies, back in the sewer. In the Adam Driver looking kid in the first one.
Yeah, but
I guess he was like in his but mid to late teens.
He's still in that 14, 15 year old range.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, the actor himself may not be. But like those two guys,
they got like stubble. Like
yeah, there's nothing about them that screams like I've got to get home to my parents.
No.
Nothing about that. Aside from that, I didn't like just how they introduced Pennywise in this movie. He's just like on the riverbank waiting, you know, kind of like, oh, well, all right, guy got beat up. I'm gonna be hanging out here, you know, and they don't really show him all that much. And then there's like a million red balloons, which looks amazing, but it doesn't do anything for me.
Nope.
And so I didn't really like how that started off. And then, they have this whole, there's a couple of deaths in the movie where Pennywise is going after kids and those scenes are actually pretty effective, especially the one with the girl underneath the bleachers and everything. But we don't know any of these characters. They try to kind of give some sort of character to both of them before they are offed.
Right.
The little girl just happens to be, we meet her at the carnival. Nobody else in the movie has met her. One of the guys that gets beat up, wins a plush toy for her. Well, wins one for him. And then he sees how sad she is and he gives her.
I had forgotten that was the same girl.
Yeah. And then we see her later, she's on the bleachers and her mom's terrible and everything. And so she goes under the bleachers and, oh, it just happens to be there. And then the other kid they meet when they congregate at the restaurant. And
that was actually kind of funny too. He goes up to Richie and
And he says a line and Richie doesn't know what that line is. And he's like, what the fuck is wrong with you, kid? Or whatever the hell he says.
Fuck you.
And then we see him later and James McAvoy in a scene that is pretty, it's like unintentionally hilarious. I feel like this is going to be in the same pantheon of like Nicolas Cage type things because he's like, kid, you need to get out of this town.
And I'm saying, you know, grabbing a kid.
Yeah, just grabbing a kid
in the middle of the street in a small town. That goes over well.
Yeah. they try to give him a little bit of character and then just add it, you know, all right, we'll just put him in the fun house. He'll get killed. So I don't have any connection to those. And then finally, this is gonna be my last thought before I let you guys talk. I don't like the whole thing of them coming back. There's this very convenient, oh, we forgot about it because we're adults now. And that's the power of it is because we've forgotten him and we forgot everything we did when we were younger. So now we have to go back and we have to like, experience Derry again in these places and like, oh, that's how we're going to remember Pennywise and everything. And all of them conveniently, by the way, come back with little tokens from each thing, even though I don't even remember if Mike said you needed to have one.
Yeah, I think he said that you're supposed to collect a token. What that was supposed to be was nothing.
Yeah, right.
He did, because when Richie comes back, he actually has a token. And, like, you know, Eddie's like, you actually got a fucking token.
Yeah, okay.
Because like, that's what we're supposed to do, fuckhead.
I got to admit, guys, I tuned out during that whole Native American bullshit that they put in there.
Forgiven, yes.
Yeah, where it's like, this is how Pennywise got to the earth. He crashed down like Cloverfield, and then, like, he was an evil presence. And, like, this is how the Native Americans fought him. And he was like some weird scorpion thing or whatever the fuck it was. And I was just like, really? We're going to come up with the origins of Pennywise here. Mm-hmm. We're really doing that right now. But so, yeah, I didn't get the sense. I never got the sense that they really knew what they were doing when they were going to these places.
No.
And then they just happened to run into some trouble and then bring back a token. There was not. I never got the sense of camaraderie. I mean, I know they've not seen each other in years, so therefore the camaraderie is not there anymore. But I just didn't get the sense of what their purpose was.
No, and I think the stuff they try to kind of I don't think anything that happens with them doesn't feel earned. Ben and Bev ending up together.
Yeah.
Ed, that relationship, like that, you know, buddy relationship they were trying to form with Eddie and Richie. It all felt very forced.
Right.
And not earned. And then they I don't want to keep going back to the, cause I don't really care about an adaptation. Like, I read a lot of books before I see the movie. I can always distinguish the two, so that's fine. But it is always interesting when they leave stuff out, but then they add stuff in that's very similar. So, like, the kid, for instance, that they try to attach to Bill, that would, in the book, that's his wife. Because right. in this, and they do this in the miniseries, which they do show his wife in this movie, but she's only in it for like 2 seconds, and then they never do the whole thing where she comes to Derry, which is fine. But then I don't know why you have to have this, like, you have to still have Bill connect to this kid. I don't even know what that. I don't know what they're going for there. And I don't know that I care.
Well, it becomes a real, like, weak, convenient thing to get the action moving, because he runs into this kid in the middle of the town.
What if he had never ran into
him? Right. And then he goes and has his epiphany of whatever. And he's like, all right, I got to go after that kid. He told me he would be at the carnival. I need to go. And then after that, after the carnival thing, he's like, all right, let's go kill this motherfucker. You know?
Yeah.
Or
he's even saying, I'm going on my own to kill him.
They
all know by this point. It takes all of them. Mike has been yelling at them to do that the whole time.
Right.
Just wait. They're coming. They said they were coming.
Yeah. And in the end, did any of the token shit even? The token shit didn't even work.
Well, they put it in the what even was that? Like a fucking bag? Like, what was that?
Yeah,
was
like some sort of basket.
Yeah, basket.
It was so like a Ghostbusters trap.
They throw everything in there, which that was actually because the attempts at comedy in this movie like fell absolutely flat for me.
Mm-hmm.
But that was funny when they're throwing this stuff in there, and then he's like, you know, it's going to take for fucking ever to burn. He's like, well, no longer than your inhaler. They're like fighting over how long. And then like, what is it? Mike has a rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, that's not going to burn either, just so you know. that was, I guess, what they were using them for. But yeah, it was whatever.
The ending's a goddamn mess.
Yes.
The movie's a goddamn mess. Mm-hmm. But at least it's typically a beautiful mess. Like, it's got the effects and it's got what I really liked was the visual of Pennywise in human form and like doing his fingernails to open up those wounds and everything. But the end, you know, for all the money that they threw at the effects, it's a spider with a clown face. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of different, like, we're going this way, we're going this way, we're going this way. The only good thing I'll say about the end is that Bill Hader moment where he's like, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker!
Yeah, and he gets caught in that little trance.
Caught in the headlights, and that took me completely by surprise, and I thought that was funny. But, you know, the fact that it can kill Eddie, but I thought it could only kill things when they were afraid. And he certainly wasn't afraid. He thought he had killed it. So, like, I don't understand. Why didn't he kill the rest of them?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're yelling clown at this clown
to kill it. Oh, my God. I was so upset.
This ending is as bad as the miniseries ending.
Yeah.
I really think so.
Yeah.
The ending to the thing. Now, obviously, better effects. But, like, it just doesn't make it. It's Stanley sending out these postcards saying, you know, I wasn't brave enough to go there, so I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
And that's my ultimate act of bravery.
And it's such a bad message.
It's such a bad. What about Mrs. Stanley? Any question about her?
Yeah.
God damn. No, the ending of this movie really, really pissed me off. I was on board with what it was up until that. And I was just like, eek.
Yeah. I was what, off board
in
way
the,
before
in,
that.
In the book, do they do any of that?
I reread it right before the movie 2 years ago, so it's been a minute.
Okay,
because I was trying to think of these things, because like I think the Native American stuff, it's not in there the way it is in the movie, but I do think there are some, like, there's a lot of mentions about where Pennywise comes from,
mm-hmm.
which In the book, from what I remember, I mean, you kind of get the idea that he's an alien,
mm-hmm.
which they don't really tackle in this movie. As far as like the ending, I mean, it's very similar to the miniseries where they're basically just like throwing rocks at a spider. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of how it is in the book, too. So they obviously tried to change it a little bit here. I will say the one thing that works about the ending, and the only thing that works, is Skarsgård's acting. He does very good job as he's like, you know, deteriorating or whatever you want to call it. But everything else about that is just so fucking silly.
I think he's great all the way through. I mean, from what he's got to work with, he's demented. It's funny that he can do that eye thing. Like, that's him doing
it. Yeah.
Just freaky.
Apparently,
he freaked Bill Hader out a bunch when he was doing
it. And it's not his. I mean, you know, he's doing what's on the page. So, I mean, if they're.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
he,
I mean, you mentioned, Chris, about like the one spot where you could have like a legitimate scare is when Ben goes into the locker.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. Not only could this be scary, it could actually be fun.
Yeah.
And they just took a regular route of just clown.
Yeah. It was, I think it was Jordan from New Kids on the Block in the thing. And the way it's shot, I was like, okay, even though I know what's coming, it would be scary if this happened it would be more Jordan in there than just, oh, it just happens to be Pennywise. It's Pennywise. Okay.
It's like they tried to get the actual Jordan.
Yeah.
And he was on tour somewhere in Nebraska.
No, sorry. I can't film that
and
joint.
In all seriousness, like that felt like something out of like Nightmare on Elm Street. Like that's exactly what this whole, and I thought about this the whole way through. And then there's like that one of those final shots. They show that fucking marquee and it says Nightmare on Elm Street 5.
Yeah.
I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like you're doing this on purpose.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right about Nightmare on Elm Street because I got the same feeling about it. All those scenes were like that.
And I think that, I mean, and I get, I mean, they're trying to make, and I don't know because this movie is still making a lot of money. I mean, it's not like it's not making any money. So I don't know if we're going to get a lot of behind the scenes like trash talk like I wish we would, because I'm really curious if there was any Warner Brothers interference in certain
things. I was thinking
the
same thing.
But at the same time, it could be like, I was thinking maybe it's like Batman Returns, though. Maybe Muschietti makes this film that's an insane hit, and then they're just like, hey, here's $70 million, you know, do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went and made like this insanely expensive art film, basically.
Because
this movie is crazy. Like it is all over the map.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, just based on reactions to it, the people that are defending it, I get the impression this is going to be like a speed racer in 10 years. This is going to be a movie where people are going back. I mean, but it was so inventive. And it was just a director just doing whatever he wanted, and it was so off the rails. And
I feel like the Speed Racer effect, which I think that's the perfect movie to call it, to name this effect on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is going to lose all of its meaning in the next few years because everybody's going to have we're going to find all these pockets of people who love these movies like Mordecai or
Mordecai. Movie 43.
It took
a second for me to even like process
Baps.
That.
Yeah, Baps. The only reason Mordecai is on my head was that it was a Drew McGarry thing. He brought it up in one of those why your team sucks things, and he said something about Mordecai, and I actually had to do the same thing that you did. Well, I was like, wait, is that Johnny Depp movie that he's talking about? But like, there's going to be people who come out on all of everything, you know, everybody's got to have, I mean, I guess it was last year on Twitter, Jennifer's body was trending.
Oh yeah. That's
and
become
I was
a
like,
cult thing.
And I was like, okay, let me read what everybody thinks is so brilliant about this movie. Most of them are women, and they're seeing something, you know, they're seeing something in that it doesn't appeal to me. But I went back and watched Jennifer's Body because that's how much this thing was.
I've been curious too.
I was sitting there, I was like watching it just going, no, I understand this is a great like revenge tale for women, but it still sucks. It's still good.
That was like Event Horizon for me about 6 or 7 years ago. That was getting like repraised. You know, everybody was talking about, including Barrett, was talking about how much they thought it was kind of cool. And I rewatched it. I'm like, yeah, this isn't for me. I'm glad other people love it.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling, and maybe this movie already is doing this because you're getting a lot of, but the defenses of it are weird because it's like, I'm sure there are people that legitimately love it, But I've read a lot of people saying they're defending it because they're like, kind of like where you were just mentioning the book. That's like their defense. They're like, well, I mean, what did you expect? I mean, you saw the miniseries, or if you know the book, or if you've read the book, you know that when it gets to the adult, it's not as good. Well, that doesn't mean you can't make a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So you're defending saying, no, it's bad, but it should have been.
Yeah.
So it's exactly what I wanted.
The what did you expect defense. That's kind of crazy to
me.
Yeah. I think we've covered pretty much what's so not good about this movie.
Yeah, it's a real shame. I was looking forward to it after that first one. I think the first one is not a perfect movie by any chance, but it's a very good Stephen King adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is definitely on the bottom tier.
I think from that first one, I think Muschietti gets Stephen King. I think he gets what makes horror work. That first one, Barrett and I, we did the Sins script for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember both of us, we had notes where it was like, man, that thing that you noticed, I never noticed that mm-hmm. before. It's like every time you watch it, you get all these little snippets, like that great scene where Ben's in the library
mm-hmm.
and the librarian is just back there staring at him.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in this movie like this.
No.
Oh, and I will say, you do get the kids, but like they, and I've heard a lot of people say when it goes back to the kids, they liked it more, but they felt like different characters to me. Like even when they went back to the kids,
mm-hmm.
they just felt like completely different characters to me. I don't know what it was about this movie that just put me off, but it just didn't work. But,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Muschietti. So I'm saying I would like to see him try another Stephen King adaptation maybe down the road, or at least another horror movie. I know he's doing The Flash, which I'm actually interested in that, but yeah, no. I don't know.
It's one of those things that you can't really, I mean, unless you just really want to change everything about the Stephen King book or whatever, where I would have just cut out the 27-year gap and you just make the kids 2 years older. You make it come back every couple years instead, and you just keep it the kids, and the kids have learned things in the next 2 years that make it possible to kill him,
mm-hmm.
and we don't have to do this whole...
Well, and especially because it's not going to surprise me at all if they make another one.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to be a shocker to me.
Well, I mean, think about what this movie has glossed over, and what I guess the book also glosses over, is all of their time after their first incident.
Yep.
That... They had to have stayed in Derry until they were 18.
In the book, it's not mentioned a lot, but there are a couple of areas where they talk about, you know, like I think Ben's mom gets a job somewhere. It was stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that whole thing about why Ben becomes skinny is in a different town and at a different school. Mm-hmm. And in the miniseries, John Ritter does that whole speech about, you know, I was showing, and that's one of my favorite parts of the book. Which they left out of this movie, which is fine because I didn't really care for that actor playing Ben.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so they do, but it does still kind of gloss over it, even in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie clearly didn't give a shit. But if you're going to be 2 hours and 49 minutes, I'd rather spend some time on that than some of the stuff they chose to spend time on.
Yeah.
Like the fucking getting high with the Indians and
yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, it just, it, once you start explaining, and this has been talked about with horror movies for a mm-hmm. long time. I don't think Scream was the first one to bring it up.
No.
Where telling the origin story of a horror, of why something happens, is mm-hmm. death to the horror, to the villain.
Usually, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I always felt like he was an embodiment of that town's, like, anger and distrust and all that, and that's
a good point.
If you wanted to make like a fantasy thing out of these if you wanted to make a villain out of something intangible, I feel like that's it, especially with the beginning of this thing, which is what, you know, if you're going to start off with a hate crime,
yeah,
you should just go ahead and make the town the reason why it exists. Otherwise, why isn't there an it everywhere?
Well, true. Yeah, exactly. And that's a good point. And like, and I know you're not supposed to review movies based on what's not there, but since there is a book and there is another adaptation of this, I do find it interesting that they decided not to mess with the town either,
mm-hmm.
because that is in the book. I mean, and even in the miniseries, they show that part where the person sees Beverly getting attacked and mm-hmm. doesn't do anything. Because that's the whole thing. The town is like, the adults in the town know. And Stephen King is always good at writing stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
where it's, especially when he's dealing with kids and like small town Maine or whatever. I like that idea that like they know the evil's there, but if it's not affecting them, they're just going to let it slide, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It kind of made me think of that stupid, this is really dumb, but that Texas Chainsaw movie with Alexandra
Daddario. The beginning?
Where you found out, like, or Texas Chainsaw 3D or whatever it was, but where you found out the whole town knew Leatherface was there and they just weren't, you know.
Yeah.
It's something kind of like that. Yeah. You know, like, they basically created the evil, though. I love that idea. And that is in the book, and they just chose to not do that. They decided to go with Indian rituals.
To me, there are certain things that you change in a book that when you leave that one detail out, then all of the other things that happen in the movie no longer make sense. Mm-hmm. Or you're adding things like this, you know, this ritual thing that, does, you know, you're adding stuff like that. But in the end, it doesn't make much sense that, you know, why the people are acting the way they are, mm-hmm. or the subtext behind all these things that are happening in the town, if you just make him an alien from space.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, the book is basically saying that's that town's festering mm-hmm. evil that's mm-hmm. going on inside it, it makes a lot more sense. You can make a better movie that way.
Yeah.
I guess studio execs look at something like that. Maybe this was never in consideration, but I'm just saying, if it was, they probably look at something like that and go, we need to have a reason.
Yeah.
We need to have something that, you know, that people can reach out and grasp
yeah.
as the reason for this thing. So, yeah, disappointing movie. Sorry.
Disappointed.
Yeah. Disappointed. But that'll do it for this mini pod.
Itty pod.
Of It Chapter 2. Penny
pod.
Itty pod. Itty bitty.
Penny pod?
Yeah, penny pod. Penny pod. Go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. We have a CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter. We're on Discord. If you aren't on Discord, I can give you a link through Facebook. We're on SoundCloud. There are many ways to come and talk about this movie if
That's
you've
right.
seen it, and be respectful of the spoilers mm-hmm. and everything. But tell us what you thought of it. I'm sure there's a bunch of people out there who really loved it. I'd like to hear your opinions.
Yep.
And people who really hated it, I'm thinking that's going to outnumber those people, but that's cool. That's why we live in a society.
That's right.
We're living in a society. But that'll do it for this mini pod. It's Chris Atkinson, Barrett Sher, and Jonathan Watkins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
What was the story behind movie 43 then? Like, what's the...
I don't know. There are 43 short films in it. I don't know. I've never watched it.
It's a movie that they're making in the movie.
That's called Movie 43?
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of different directors,
but there's,
right?
Yeah, and it's a bunch of different segments. So you have, like, Hugh Jackman and Kate Winslet are on a date in one of them. And
he's got, like, testicles on his neck or something?
Yeah.
That's where I was kind of like, I'm good.
Yeah, and then you have Anna Faris and Chris Pratt are in there, and there's a whole bunch of different.
Is that where ones. They met?
I think they were married already. It's insane. I think there was something in Crack that said something like the producer of that movie basically just turned in a whole bunch of favors to get all these big stars. Like, so he apparently did something for all of these people so that they would do this mm-hmm. movie, because you would never see Hugh Jackman and Kate Winslet in a movie like this ever.
No, you saw it, right?
Yeah.
Is there any redeeming value to it?
I mean,
I've heard, like,
it's like any comedy, it's got something, it's got stuff in it that's funny.
It was a January movie too, right? So it's like, it's pretty close to that.
Yeah, January 25th. It's probably one of those that's going to find a cult status because it's 4.3 in IMDb.
Oh, yeah.
And
there's people who love it, probably.
Oh, it's on Netflix. If it's on Netflix, I might actually give it a shot.
I mean, it's at this point, there's no pressure, right?
Yeah,
you can just watch it.
Yeah.
And, well, that sucked. Okay.
It'll be like 2015's Vacation or something like that.
Yeah.
they had the cast of Ghostbusters on whenever that came out, that movie, and they were all like, Melissa McCarthy was talking about how much it pissed them off because Chris Hemsworth was funny.
Yeah.
Because there's like, it's not enough that you're like, you know, good looking and muscular and, you know, you can act. And it's like, and then he's like, God damn it, he's funny too. And then he started singing something just randomly, and apparently his voice was really nice. And Melissa McCarthy was just like, you shut up.
Yeah. It's like, that's the thing that Amy Schumer was talking about in her stand-up. She was saying, like, she went to some party, and her boyfriend went over and talked to Kate Upton.
Yeah.
And he comes back to Amy Schumer, and he's like, oh, I like her. She's really funny. And she's like, fuck you. She is not funny. And what did she say that was so funny? And he's like, I don't know. I was over there playing pool with her. And she's like, I'll take you down in a game next tomorrow in a couple hours. And he's like, that's it? That's what she said that was so funny? Look, she can't have everything, okay?